So welcome back to Voices of Luxury with JQ. I'm JQ, and today I'm here with Dave Wedge. We're here in Boston at Big Night Studios. I'm so excited to be here, and we have an awesome guest. He's a big author. There's so much to talk about. He's a journalist, author, and lots more. So we have lots to discuss. So let's jump into it.
Awesome.
All right. So why don't we give everybody a little bit of an intro on you? Because I know you have, you know, such a big background. You know, we know each other from the Herald and from so many other things. So maybe, you know, let's kind of give a quick little intro.
Sure. Yeah. Well, congrats on the podcast. Amazing. I'm so happy to be here as well, here at Big Night Live. Love these guys. And I grew up around here, Boston, and I worked at the Boston Herald for 14 years and covered everything you can imagine. My kind of the bookends of my career were kind of 9/11, where I got sent down to New York that morning and covered that. And then the marathon bombings in 2013. Mm-hmm. In between that was everything you could imagine that a news reporter in Boston would cover: serial killers and, you know, fires and tragedy and death and destruction. But I also did a lot of cool stuff. I covered a lot of music over the years, you know, covered a lot of politics. I went on the road with Governor Romney when he ran for president against Obama. So I got to do a lot of variety, and that's helped me in my later years. So I left the Herald in 2013. And wrote my first book, which was called Boston Strong, which became the movie Patriots Day.
So let's jump into that. I mean, I know everybody around here, you know, knows you for that. I know it's such a big thing here in Boston, but, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are global or, you know, at least across the country. So, you know, maybe can you give a quick recap of that and, you know, how you wrote the book and, you know, what that was like?
Yeah. So, you know, it was an amazing experience, you know, as a reporter. You know, I had a lot of chances to write books over the years throughout mm-hmm. my career about different cases I had covered, you know, but I never really found anything that made me want to kind of, you know, give up a year or two of my life to really focus and write a book, because it's a big undertaking to write a book. You know, I've done 9 now, so I get it a little better now.
Wow. So this is your 9.
Book number 9. Wow. Yeah. But, you know, when this one came, it was my first book. So it was a little unusual for a writer to have their first book optioned right away for a movie.
Yeah.
But it was a big story.
And on just such a big event.
It was a big event, and I was in the middle of it for the Herald. I was out there in Watertown in the middle mm-hmm. of the night when the bombs were going off and all that. I was there that day when the bombs went off mm-hmm. at the finish line. So I led the Herald's coverage. So when it all kind of ended and everything, you know, the smoke cleared, so to speak, you know, I connected with my co-author, Casey Sherman, who had just finished a book called The Finest Hours. And that was a big Disney movie with Chris Pine and Casey Affleck. And Casey said, you know what, let's partner up. So we partnered up and we wrote that book. And, you know, we said from the very beginning, it was pretty fast. It was a very sensitive topic. You know, a little boy lost his life. A lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people's lives were changed forever. Thousands and thousands of people in Boston were traumatized for the rest of their life by what happened. So we took that responsibility very seriously. And we said, you know what, this is going to happen anyway. Someone's going to do it. So better us than someone parachute in here from Hollywood, do it, bastardize it, exploit it, and then disappear forever. Casey and I knew that if we got it wrong, we would hear about it forever, because we live, we're part of this community. We knew people that were directly impacted. Mm-hmm. I lived in Dorchester at the time, not far from where it all happened. So, and then to work with Mark Wahlberg and Pete Berg, who are two of the best in Hollywood, just amazing to be up. And I learned so much.
Yeah. I mean, amazing. It's crazy. It's been so long. You know, since then, I mean, I actually ran the marathon on the 5-year anniversary in 2018. Mm. And it's crazy.
Congratulations.
It's crazy how, you know, that really impacted the city of Boston in ways that I think, you know, we're still figuring out. You know what I mean?
Even, absolutely.
You know, so many years later. And, you know, it's so exciting that, you know, that everyone was so happy that, you know, locals were covering that and, you know, really, you know, telling the story how it actually unfolded.
Well, I think, you know, when you write a story like this, you know, and I've written about a lot of, you know, things that have been not super positive experiences for people, but my job as a writer now, you know, a storyteller, is to find the heart of the story and find the inspiration and find the good. And that's what we did with Boston Strong. We said right at the beginning, this isn't a sad story, a bunch of people that got killed in a terror attack.
Yeah.
It's a story about how people survived, how the victims recovered, how the people impacted rebuilt their lives. And that's why our book goes from the day of the bombing through the first anniversary. And you see people get back, people like Heather Abbott, who lost her leg. And you see her, she's back surfing.
Yep.
And, you know, other survivors who lost limbs and ran the marathon the next year. So we wanted to tell those stories. And that comes through in the movie, too. You know, the movie, is it perfect? No. But I watched it recently for the 10-year anniversary, and I think it's held up well. I think the spirit of what happened is represented very well by the movie. Mm-hmm. Boston did pull together. Mm-hmm. We are a very unique city in that aspect. I don't care what anyone says. You know, we're very tribal and we're protective of each other. Like, we will push you out of line at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
But we'll also help you up if someone else pushes you down.
Exactly.
You know, so you can't mess with Bostonians.
Exactly.
And in a lot of ways,
I mean, David
Ortiz exemplified the city.
David Ortiz said it best.
That's it. I don't know if we can swear on the podcast, but it is. It's in the book, and it's in the
exactly.
movie. You know,
yeah.
It's the closing scene of the movie.
Exactly.
You know, so, and it should be.
Well, I mean, I think just the fact that, you know, Boston Strong, that's what came out of it.
Right.
You know, that's the saying, and that's, you know, we have one Boston Day and, you know, all these things. I mean, you know, it really is, you know, Boston pride, and that we all look out for each other, even though, you know, we're a little rough with each other, but we do look out, you know, we're always looking out for one another. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is with that is, like, you know, the marathon to me, I went to Boston College, and, you know, so the marathon was always a huge event, and it always signals, like, the start of spring, like, this St. Patrick's Day, and everyone kind of comes out of hibernation, but then Marathon Monday is always a huge day. The Red Sox, Boylston Street's popping. It's super fun. And for someone to attack that in such a public fashion, in such a traumatic way, really struck at the heart of Boston. That's what made us all rally around each other, and it really brought out the best of the city, and, you know, people can say it's cliche and all that stuff, but it happens to be true.
I totally agree. And, you know, the Boston Marathon is also when the, you know, the eyes from around the world are on Boston.
That's right.
You know, that's a world-class event.
Yeah.
It's the best marathon. It's the oldest marathon. And we have people who come from all over the world who are so proud and happy that they get the chance to run the Boston Marathon.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we're on the world stage and we do a great job every year.
And I think the, you know, the real message of how Boston reacted to that was shown the following year, which was the biggest marathon that had ever happened. Mm-hmm. You know, more entrants than ever and more spectators than ever.
Yep.
So that was really just like a, you're not going to knock us down.
Yeah, people weren't afraid. And, you know, every year it's gotten bigger and better. And I think it's gotten even more global. Like this year, I saw so many sponsors of all the big brands doing huge activations. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I love the marathon. It's so much fun. Yeah. Every year, it's great.
And that's what I try to do with all my stories is, you know, find the good in it. And a lot of, as traumatic and tragic as it was for the families of the folks who lost their lives and the many people that loved them and the city as a whole, it did bring out a lot of good. And there's a lot of good that continues to happen. Like you mentioned, one Boston day.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a great day in Boston now.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your current book.
Sure.
So your ninth book, so it's Blood and Hate. So tell us a little bit about this.
Sure. So I grew up in Brockton, and this book was kind of my white whale. You know, I wrote, you know, Boston Strong. I've written about the Ice Bucket Challenge, Deflake, Whitey Bulger, John Lennon. So I've covered a lot of big topics. And my last book, 2022, was about bikers and a cop who infiltrated a bike gang, and it's a true story. And I had been thinking about doing a book on Marvelous Marvin Hagler for many years, having grown up in Brockton with his legend. And I saw him fight when I was 10 years old at the old Boston Garden right here behind us.
Oh, yeah.
My dad took me to his first title defense after he became world champion. And I was 10 years old. And back then you could smoke in the garden. So I remember watching the fight through the smoke and the blood and all this stuff. And Marvin beat the hell out of the guy, a guy named Vito Antifermo, and defended his title. So I grew up enamored with the legend of Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I tried to write it with Marvin when he was alive. I approached him a couple of times, but he just didn't want to do it, and it didn't work out for various reasons. After he passed away in 2021, I was finishing up the biker book, and after I finished that, I was looking for my next thing, and I said, you know what, it's probably time to do this. So I just buckled down, and I got it written, and I found a really unique angle to the story. It's not Marvin Hagler's entire life. You know, for your younger viewers, like, he was, you know, I don't even know who to compare him to today. I mean, the LeBron James of today. Like, when Marvin fought, it was must-see TV. There was only cable TV at that point. There was no phones and no internet and all that. So it was appointment viewing. And I wanted to show how he became marvelous. And that's what this story is about. It's his origin story, his journey to winning the title in a very intense, racially divisive fight that happened in England in 1980. So that's the story.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to read it.
It's exciting. And, you know, a lot of people that have read it tell me, you know, it doesn't read like a sports book. It's more like a novel. So I think people, whether you like boxing or not, you'll love it.
Yeah. No, I can't wait. Yeah. So maybe let's switch gears a little bit because, you know, on you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about travel and fun and, awesome. You know, and also, you know, all interesting people, what's their favorite place, go-to places. So obviously you're from Massachusetts, you know, me and you go to a lot of the same places in the summer and in the winter. So maybe let's start with what's your favorite summer destination in New England?
Summer destination, New England. Well, obviously Cape Cod, you know, we've been going, I grew up going to Hyannis, family had a house on C Street Beach in Hyannis when I was a little kid, sold it when my parents got older. And then me and my wife and my family had a little condo in Dennis for many years that we sold it right before the pandemic, unfortunately, and where we thought we were going to just get a new place, but then the prices went a little nuts, as we all know, but I'm looking to get back. But I love Dennis. Dennis is really one of my favorite places on the Cape, and we really like the 6A side, over, you know, Corporation Beach and Howe Street and Mayflower and Corporation. Yeah. Like, those are all just beautiful, fun.
I love it.
New England beaches.
Exactly. Well, and it's nice because people don't realize how many beaches there are in that area.
Yeah.
And I heard now there's an app where you can see if the parking lots are full.
Well, I don't even need that app because they're all full. And, it, you know, that's good and bad. I mean, it's hard to access the beaches, but, you know, we have our tricks like all New Englanders.
Exactly.
I'm not certainly not giving them away here, but I have my secret spots.
All right. So I guess on the Cape too, before we, I want to switch gears to winter because we both agree on a few places in the winter as well. But on the Cape, do you have any favorite restaurants or anything like that that you go back to year after year?
We do. So I love the Oyster Company in Dennisport,
which
is a nice, it's an awesome little family-owned, a great oyster spot, but it's also got great Italian. It's got all sorts of amazing food. You know, the snobby side of me and the bougie side would say I love the Chatham Bars Inn.
Oh,
I mean,
me too.
It's just such a classic New England resort, and me and my family have been lucky to have several beautiful experiences there in the off-season as well as summer.
Oh. I love it. In the fall, it's so nice.
It's beautiful in the fall. It's beautiful in the spring. Mm-hmm. We actually had an amazing experience there once where we rode out a blizzard at the Chatham Bars Inn.
No way.
And it was like being in the movie The Shining, which was terrifying but awesome all at once. And it just has that New England vibe. And to have the water whipping off the ocean and the storm, it's a feeling that's indescribable. So,
and the
restaurant there is amazing.
And that
cozy fireplace, the piano and the chessboards. And we lost power, so the kids were like playing checkers and chess.
Oh.
And reading books by candlelight. It was really cool.
No, I love that. Chatham Bars Inn is such a classic.
I also love the Wequasset, which is
another great one.
Classic, you know, Cape Cod, New England spot.
100%. I mean, they're just, both of those are such musts, whether you're from the area or not. I mean, they're just, you know, quintessential New England at its best.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how about in the winter?
Winter, well, I'm a skier, and I've been skiing since I was a little kid, and I grew up skiing at Bolton Valley in Vermont, which is right near Stowe, which I don't know if you've been yet or not, but it's a rustic New England mountain, but...
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't been to Bolton yet. I've gone to Stowe, you know, dozens of times.
So it's basically a smaller Stowe, but with, you know, they've made some improvements on the lift service and all that stuff, but it's a skier's mountain. It's a mountain where, if you want luxury, it's not what you're looking for. But if you want great terrain and a fun New England experience, adventure, that's the place. That's where I learned how to ski. You know, the Deloria family that owned it and then got rid of it and then rebought it. They're just a legendary New England family that is, you know, Vermonters. And, you know, I love Bolton Valley, but I love Stowe. Stowe is my go-to. Cool. It's the best mountain in New England, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, I think Stowe is also the best ski town.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Best restaurants, very high-end. You know, really, you know, chef-driven restaurants every year. They're kind of, you know, they step the bar up. You know, the Lodge at Spruce Peak, they're doing an awesome job there. The spa's nice.
It's breathtaking views, too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you
know, it's the closest thing we have here in New England to, like, a European-style village.
Exactly.
It's got the lift going through and all. It's got the little skating rink, and it's got the fire pits, and it's got everything you're looking for in luxury and classic, like, cozy New England.
Exactly. And they do a great job in kind of the shoulder season in the fall too. Because I know if you stay at, you know, if you stay on Spruce Peak, you get a whole view of, you know, foliage and everything like that. So.
And there's so much to do around Stowe too. Mm-hmm. You've got Waterbury, which is a great little foodie town. There's some breweries, there's distilleries, there's great restaurants. I think it's called the Squealing Pig, I think it's called. No, it's not the Squealing Pig. It's some. There's another.
Is it that hen one?
No, the Hen in the Wood is
hen
in Burlington.
In the Wood.
That's in Burlington. But you're close to Burlington. You're close to Lake Champlain. And you're also close to Ben and Jerry's and Cabot. the Cabot Cheese Factory, which is amazing.
So that's one Vermont thing I've never done.
Super fun.
I haven't been to the Cabot Factory or Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, you got
to
do both.
I want to do both. I've driven by both of them, but
they're really fun. They're fun tours. And I mean, the Cabot Cheese is just this.
I mean,
it's fun.
It's the best. And also the Vermont Creamery, too. They have Vermont awesome Creamery. Cheese, too.
Okay, I haven't been there.
It's close by.
Okay.
It's that one I've been to. It's really good.
So last season, we did a house with some other friends and family at Mount Snow, which is southern Vermont, right near Brattleboro, I have skied there in the past, but I didn't know much about the area. But similarly, ton of hidden gems, great restaurants. They've done a lot of renovations at Mount Snow at the lodges and stuff. And I really love that mountain. It's a great, fun Vermont mountain.
Yeah. No, I love that.
That's usually my go-to, but I've skied a lot in Maine as well. I love Sunday River.
Yep.
Great place, a lot of fun. And New Hampshire, I have some spots, but that's New Hampshire is more for skiing and not for luxury and resorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for Loon. Loon is high end.
They do a good job.
Loon's great.
But I think in Vermont, if you just want, because also there's so many beautiful homes that you can rent too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just, you know, that's another thing that gets stepped up every year. I feel like there's so much inventory of great places where you can rent it with another family or just, you know, it's a really nice place to get away, especially to get away from Boston in the winter. It's so nice to get up there and have picturesque winter.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, my dad always used to say, like, why do we live in, I grew up in Brockton, why do we live in this area? It's like, we're an hour to the beach, we're half to the mountains, you know, 2 hours, three hours to world-class mountains.
And
you know?
We have all four seasons, and we have the best of all four seasons.
We do.
You just got to know where to go.
But Vermont is awesome, even if you're not a skier, you know, snowboarding, snowmobiling, you know, there's cross country, there's just recreation.
Like, there's sleigh rides,
tons,
and there's, you know, snowshoeing. And all that good stuff.
Ice skating.
Yeah.
When it's cold enough.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that ice rink at Stowe is awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cozy there. They have all the lights and everything.
Yeah.
I love it.
Obviously, I have to shout out the Woodstock Inn, too. I mean, I know you've been there,
I'm sure. Yeah.
So Woodstock is the other thing I love about Vermont is, like, there's so many of these little towns that are, like, under the radar that have so much beautiful stuff.
And exactly.
Manchester, Vermont is another one that I've discovered, which is not far from Mount Snow.
Yeah.
A lot of actors and actresses and celebrities live up in that area. I was good friends with the late Treat Williams, who was a big actor. He was in Chicago Fire. And he had a beautiful estate up there that I got to visit a few times. And just Manchester is absolutely gorgeous. You know, Stratton's there as well, which is a world-class mountain.
Very high-end. Like, they have some beautiful condos and, like, beautiful, you know, ski and ski-out homes. I mean, that's awesome.
And there's great theater up there in the summer. They have, like, it's almost like the Berkshires. It's that sort of theater shed sort of thing. And a lot of New York major celebrities come up there and do shows in the spring and summer.
Exactly. And you are close to the Berkshires, too. Because I know a few years ago, I did a trip where we went to the Berkshires and then went up to Vermont, I think probably to Stratton to go skiing right
there.
That's
probably it. Yeah, it's right up 91. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, exactly. I know we just have so many places in New England. You just have to know where they are.
You got to do your homework, but Google's your friend.
Exactly. I know.
JQ is your friend.
Well, yeah, I know. You can just go on Instagram or TikTok and find all these places.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. We're doing great.
Well, one thing I can bring up is we are working on a movie on this one.
Oh.
On the Marvin Hagler one. I'm working with Sam Rockwell.
Oh, wow.
Who is an Academy Award winning producer, actor. And we just brought on Rosie Perez as a co-producer.
Oh,
Rosie's, she, for the younger folks, she's in White Men Can't Jump. She's in Do the Right Thing and Spike Lee's movies. And I just met with Rosie 2 weeks ago down in New York. We did an event together for this book, kind of a book launch in Brooklyn. And Rosie is amazing. She's such a fire plug, and she loves this story. She's a big boxing fan.
Cool.
She knew Marvin Hagler, and she's producing a new movie now with Josh Gad, who's Olaf.
Oh,
she's doing like a family comedy drama that she's starring in and producing. So I'm super excited. It's moving in the right direction. Hopefully we'll have a movie launch here. We will film it in Brockton for sure.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
In Boston. We'll film all over here.
Love that.
That's the plan.
Love that. All right. Well, Blood and Hate is out now. You can get it everywhere. And, you know, my friend Dave, he's awesome. Lots of other books, too, to check out. So, you know, if you're interested in true crime or anything, honestly, Boston related, you know, he's the guy. So definitely check these out. We'll link to all these below. But yeah, thanks for all the tips. Those were great.
Absolutely. Love the show. Congrats again.
Yeah. Thanks for being.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm your host, JQ. Be sure to follow me at JQ Louise on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other social media platforms. It was so much fun. Be sure to tune in next week for another great episode.